Well, happy Independence Day, everyone. I guess it's not until Thursday, but I'm going to say it early, right? Because I'm not going to see you Thursday, most of you. So anyway, how do you like Pastor Ron's little cast he has on his hand? I miss him playing the guitar, don't you? All right, well, today we're going to talk about entitlements again, right? Anybody get the "you're right" talk yet? Anybody? I'm still trying to get it. You know, I still don't, this message is hard for me, and I told you that before. It's a very difficult message for me because it's about entitlements, and I told you I feel entitled. So to be validated by a lot of different things and a lot of different people and a lot of different things. So it's a very difficult message. But anyway, what I want to do is just to let you know what's going to happen for the next couple of weeks, because that's what I want to talk about to begin with. Pastor Ron's going to be up here next week, and he's going to conclude this. So I'm really anxious and happy about that, because I get the week off, and Pastor Ron has to preach. I preached Oasis last night, and I had a lot of fun at Oasis because I got to wear shorts and a golf shirt and my topsiders, and so I was really comfortable, and I was thinking that I'd do that this morning, but I think Roger would be mad at me. So I wore my suit. But you didn't wear your red tie, Roger. Today is red, white, and blue day. You're blue, blue, and blue. So you know I had to get you, right? So Roger's been working real hard around the church getting things fixed up around here, so I really appreciate you, him and Mary. And so next week is going to be Pastor Ron, and then the following week we're going on vacation. So when we're away on vacation, we're going to have Zach Ellsworth and his band up here, which is going to be awesome. You're going to love that. And then he's going to bring the word too. Dana's going to bring the word. So you're really going to have a good time for the next couple of weeks. So the next couple of weeks is Calvary Baptist Church is the place you want to be, right? Amen. And forevermore. Okay, so anyway, last week we looked at the text in Matthew 6, 22 and 23, and we saw that whatever we focus our eyes on or our attention on can either fill us up or fill our hearts up with light or darkness, right? Depends on what we look at, what we focus on. It's going to fill us up with either good stuff or bad stuff, good stuff or evil stuff. And we illustrated that through our microscope. You remember the microscope that was up here? And my lovely assistant, Jimmy Clare, came up, didn't have a cell phone, wasn't ready, wasn't prepared again. You know, but anyway, we had the microscope, and the microscope had a little mirror on it, and you had to adjust the mirror, and he had to just put that light from my lovely wife's cell phone into the mirror so that I could see, and sometimes he did it, sometimes it was okay, but it wasn't always. So when we depend on someone else to give us what we need, the light, when we depend on somebody to give us the validation that we want or need, you know what? It's so inconsistent, because I had to say, come on, Jim, move right, move left, get closer, get further away, blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, go sit down because you're no good to me right now. I love you, Jimmy. But they couldn't supply my need for the light that I needed, or like in our case, the validation that I needed, that validation that I wanted to see to so I can see in that microscope. And remember, we all have a desire to be right, right? We do. Remember that little thing that a couple of weeks ago, somebody wrote on your hand, "You're right." That was the only "you're right" you got, right? Well, Susan and I had a little argument. What do you mean you had a little argument? Pastor Joe, aren't you supposed to be perfect? Isn't it supposed to be perfect? I know, but Sue's trying. So we had a little argument. So she says, Pastor Joe. Yeah. She says, Pastor Joe. No, she doesn't call me Pastor Joe. She just plain Joe. And she doesn't call me plain Joe either. She just calls me Joe. But the only time it's Pastor Joe is, see, I'm her pastor and I'm her husband. So she gets double whammy, okay? Because I'll just throw scripture at her and say, hey, Sue, take a look at this scripture. And she has to listen to me because I'm her pastor. She doesn't have to listen to her husband. But anyway, so we're having this little argument. It's not real heated or anything. And she said, you know what, Joe? She said, I'd tell you you're right, but then we'd both be wrong. And she's probably right. So, in our quest to be validated and full of light and life and everything else, we instead become full of darkness. And we really do. Because that fades. When somebody tells you you're right, it fades. It quickly fades. You don't even remember it a few seconds later. Okay, I'm right. All right. Well, did that fulfill you? You all full of joy now? No, you're not. Because you want to be fulfilled again. Because it's empty. It's empty. Keeps going through. We talked about the example of Elijah. Elijah is a great prophet. And I told you this example last week, so I'll just briefly touch on it for the people that weren't here last week. But it was Elijah's a great prophet. He prayed to God and said, make it quit raining for 3 years. And guess what? It quit raining for 3 years. You talk about validation, right? From God. And then he said, okay, God, after 3 years, you can cause it to rain. And then the skies opened up and it started to rain, right? So that's another validation. And then he kills 450. He calls flame down from the heavens and takes up his sacrifice that was soaking wet. And he did that. That's more validation. Then he kills 450 prophets of Baal, and that's more validation. And just one single guy. And then what happens after that? One person, one woman, Jezebel. Why are you smiling there, Roger? You've got two sitting beside you. You better be careful. One woman, Jezebel, gets mad at him and says, I'm going to kill you. And he goes and runs from one woman. He just killed 450 prophets of Baal. How, man, that's how powerful this girl was. She was something. So anyway, he runs into a cave and he says, God, she's after me. Just kill me. Just take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Wow. How's that? He just had all that validation. And now he's like, I need some more. I just need you to take me out of here. You know what? Even validation sometimes from God doesn't last. Maybe that's why he doesn't validate us all the time. Maybe that's why when I say, God, how did I do today? He doesn't want to validate me. He doesn't want you to validate me either. Because he knows it's not going to last. Because today after the service, I'll go, hey, Katie, am I the best orator ever to exist? And you're going to say, probably not, Pastor Joe, but but I'm also your uncle. Remember that. But it fades, even from God. And time to time, he, again and again in Scripture, tells us to be cautious about where we focus our attention and where we focus what we want to get. Because he has good reason to. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 in our text. Matthew chapter 6. He doesn't want us to focus on anything else. And why? In verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and manna. You can't. Jesus is telling me you can't focus on more than one thing at a time. Now, let me illustrate this to you, okay? All right, we're going to have a couple of conversations here. You guys talk about golf. Just have a golf conversation. You guys have a mechanics conversation, how to fix a car. you guys how to draw a picture, and you guys do how to take out the garbage kind of thing, all right? Now, you're all going to be, come on, loud. I want to hear conversation here. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. I like that. All right. That's enough. Pay attention to me now. Now, I don't know whether you noticed this, but you were focused on those conversations. You did not hear, even though I could hear everybody, and you probably could too. You heard a lot of background noise from everybody else, but you were focused on the conversation that you were having, unless somebody had some juicy gossip from another group and you heard, whoop, what was that? Now you focused on them and you left your group, right? You can't focus on all four conversations at the same time, can you? I can't. If I'm doing something with on the computer or on my iPad and my wife is talking to me, she got so mad at me yesterday. We're out to dinner and she's talking. We're going on vacation, okay? She wants to get ready. And I'm like this. And then all of a sudden it went dead. And I knew the question was going to come. What did I just tell you? I can't focus on two things at one time. I can walk and chew gum at the same time, and I can do a lot of things at the same time, but I cannot concentrate or focus on one more than one thing at the same time. So you kind of get that, right? Well, here's another illustration. Just like I'm preaching up here, and you guys are all paying attention to me for the most part. Some of you are asleep, but the rest of you are... If somebody whispers, and I know this happens to me because what will happen is I'll be over here and we'll be worshiping and worshiping, and Sue will say, and I'll paint my attention here and I won't focus on that. I can't focus on more than one thing. You guys, if somebody whispers in your ear right now, you're going to stop paying attention to me, so don't do that. And you'll start paying attention to what they're saying, right? I know I can't do it. I know I can't hear both conversations at the same time. I can hear them, but they're not going to make any sense to me, okay? So I can't do that. I want you to put your hands up like this. Everybody put your hands up. Now go like this. You're a great pastor. Come on. No. yeah, put your hands up again. All right. Now, can you focus on both your hands at the same time? Can you? Like Jim, put three fingers up. Oh, no, you can't. You're right. All right. Never mind, Jim. But you can't, right? You can't focus. Now, you can see in your peripheral vision that you have both your hands up. And like if I tell you to put three fingers up here and five fingers up here, and I'd say, okay, how many fingers do you have up on your right hand? And you have to focus over there because you don't know how many fingers you have over there. Okay, right? You get it. You can't focus them. If I tell you to look at your right hand, you have to focus at your right hand. If I tell you to look at your left hand, you have to focus at your left hand. You can't focus on both of them at the same time. Right? Right. Well, like I said, you may be able to see them. So, that's what Jesus is telling us in this scripture. He says, you know what? You can't focus on the things of God and the things of this world at the same time. You just can't do it. You can't do it. A lot of people would like to say, well, I can do this and I can do this, but you can't. You absolutely can't, and that's what he's saying. For instance, he says, you can't focus on God and money. That's what manna, basically, money. Because they will have contradictory demands. One will say, hey, you need to give your 10% tithe to the church. You need to give to the mission field and above and beyond your 10%. You need to do that. You need to give so that that Calvary Baptist Church can support ministries here. And that's why you do that, right? To support the ministries here. That's what one will demand. The other one will say, you know what? Why don't you take that 10% and spend it on a new car? Hey, you know what? That's a car payment. Go ahead. You may as well. Nobody's going to know. There's one person that will know, though. See, you can't love God and love this world at the same time, because you're either going to hate one and love the other, or vice versa. Period. That's it. So, you can't do that. And Jesus starts this passage. It says, no man can serve two masters. That's pretty inclusive, right? It doesn't say, you know what? And that includes you women too, not just you men. It says no man means no man and woman, okay? So he's saying no man can do that. And that means that there's nothing outside. He doesn't say, well, some people have the ability to do that and others don't, so we're just going to say, no. He says, no man. There's nothing outside of that. And Jesus gives us another great example of that in Luke. I want you to turn to Luke. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and take a look at chapter 10. Keep your finger in that other verse, too, because we're going to go back to that. And we're going to look at chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 38. And it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, she's pretty distressed, right? She really is. She's working about Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, comes to visit. All right? And what's really cool about this is if you're a born-again believer, he doesn't have to come and visit. He already lives within you, right? In your temple. Amen? And so Jesus comes in, and Martha's all about busy working, and that's which is good, because there's nothing wrong with what she's doing. She's preparing a meal, and we all need to prepare meals, and we all need to do services and things like that. But there's something else about Martha. There's something else about her. They're both focused on different focal points. Mary is focusing directly on Jesus and what he's saying, and Martha is busy about doing the business, and which is pretty good too. Nothing wrong, except when it comes to choosing service over Jesus. Martha was looking to be validated by Jesus. She was looking for something selfish. She's saying, hey, you know what, Jesus? You need to validate me. You need to tell me that I'm good, that I'm working hard for you, that you need to get Mary now to get in with me, on board with me and what I'm doing. No, maybe Martha ought to get on board with what she's doing. Because you see, if you keep your focus right, if you keep your focus directly square on Jesus, it doesn't really matter what other people are doing. It really doesn't. If your focus, you know, I mean, they could say all they want about this congregation, but you know what? We worship God here. We focus on God here. Period. There's nothing else. Yeah, we do some other activities, but our primary concern is our focus directly, squarely on Jesus Christ and Him only. But anyway, so she's looking for that validation, and Martha had gone to a very dark place. She did. Remember, if your eye is on something good, it's going to fill you up with what? It's going to fill you up with good. It's going to fill you up with light. If your eye is on something evil or selfish, it's going to fill you up with darkness. Well, she was filled up with darkness, and she had the Son of God sitting right in her living room, and her focus was the wrong thing. And look what Jesus says in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There's one thing about Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, no matter what you're doing in life, no matter how rich or poor you are, no matter where you are in your walk in life, I'll guarantee you, You will not lose that. You can be in the gutter. You can lose your home, your car, your family, your loved ones, whatever, but you cannot lose Jesus Christ. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and you have that light, you cannot lose it. Nobody can take it from you. No one. Not one person is able to do that. Martha wanted Jesus' acceptance, but instead she was rebuked. To go even further, take a look at what happened in his closest group of people, the 12. Look what Judas did to him. Where was his focus? Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver, right? Where was Judas's focus on? If what this scripture says, that you can't serve God and money, there's a perfect example. Because he was either going to serve Jesus or he was going to serve that 30 pieces of silver. And he found out it wasn't any good. What did he do? He committed suicide. That was awful. And then take a look at his closest disciples, his closest ones. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he brings them over and he says, guys, watch and pray. I'm going to go further up the hill and I'm going to pray to my Father because I'm going to die. Tomorrow they're going to take me and they're going to crucify me. They're going to beat me beyond recognition. And he knew all this. He says, guys, stay here, watch and pray. He goes up, comes back down. What are they doing? They're asleep. They're fast asleep. Man, focus was wrong. They didn't have the right focus. They fell asleep. Now, I have a magnifying glass. Lucas says, Jake. He says, he wants to see it. So he says, might want your spyglass. He says, Granddad might want your spyglass. And he goes around, he walks around like this. I don't know how he sees. But anyway, it's my magnifying glass. Now, have any of you ever, I did this when I was a kid. I haven't done it recently. Burn ants. Have you ever burnt ants? You know, you get them in the sun, and there they are crawling across there, and you go, psst, and they fry like right now. You just get that little bead on them, and psst, and they pop. Well, yesterday I did that. I didn't really. I had mercy on the ants. Actually, we exterminated a couple of weeks ago, so there aren't any more ants. So I got this little piece of paper. I got this little piece of paper here, and proof of purchase for this for a buck. And I went outside, and I burned a hole in it. It was kind of cool. You know how long it took when I put this on the sun? It took about 2 seconds, and that thing was burned up. That's how quick it was. So I said, oh, that's pretty awesome. That'd be a good illustration on focus, right? So I went inside, and I took this light. This is a pretty powerful light here. You see that? I don't want to shine it in your eyes because you might go blind. So this is one of those basic LED lights. So I did it. I put the LED light there, and I'm trying to focus it. Well, it wouldn't burn anything. Then I said, well, okay, I've got 5 lights up in my, all 100-watt bulbs in my kitchen thing. Let's see if I can do that. No, it wouldn't burn anything. Now, I'm sure that you can buy a light that's powerful enough that would do that, but I had the right power source when I went outside and the sun did it, right? Yeah, S-O-N, not S-U-N. And it was pretty cool. So when I went outside and I burnt the paper and burnt the ants and all that, and then I brought it inside and did all that, and none of that worked, and I needed the right light, the S-O-N. And you know, because we need that right light. We can't get anything from anybody else that's going to fill us up with light. That's going to validate us anymore. What we need is we need to be filled up with Jesus. We need to filled up with the right light, the S-O-N light. Last week we read Psalm 36. And verse 9, it just spoke to me. When Steve was up here and he was reading, it just spoke to me. And it says, "For with thee is the foundation of life." Speaking of God. "In thy light shall we see light." You want to see light? You want to have light in your life? You've got to have the right focus, because it's in Him. It's directly on Him. And that's the light we need to be filled with. True light only comes from God. All other light is artificial. This is an artificial light, okay? It has no staying power. They either have batteries in them, or if you don't pay your electric bill, guess what? The lights are out, right? And all that is going to go away someday. All this artificial light, it fades. If I keep this on for any length of time, guess what's going to happen? Tomorrow, we'd come in here and this would be dead. The light would be faded. It's all gone. They all have to get their power from another source. And that something else has a shelf life. Those batteries have a shelf life. Verse 19 in our text back in Matthew chapter 6, and we started up here, it says, "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." You don't want to do that. You don't want to lay up stuff and light that's going to rot and it's going to go away. What you need to do is turn with me for one more verse. I want you to turn back to John. The Gospel of John in chapter 8. And you can keep your finger on that other one too. John chapter 8. And this is pretty awesome, because Jesus proclaims this. He says in verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Wow. Jesus himself is saying, you know what? If you don't want to walk in darkness, if you don't want to have that dark heart, that place where you go when people aren't validating you, when things aren't going that well, when you don't have the money that you need, if you don't have whatever it is, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever that dark place that you go to, guess what he's saying? I am your light, and I will keep you from darkness. You don't have to go into that place. He's the light. You see, the light source we need to be seeking after is the one from God, Jesus Christ. The light source in which cannot be taken from us, that cannot die, that the one that will not fade away and that doesn't have a shelf life, the one who shined through us. And if we allow him to shine through us, can be so powerful. Just like this magnifying glass, by itself, it can do nothing until the light shines through it. And if the light of Christ shines through you, you can do absolutely anything that you want. And what a powerful thing you could be. What a powerful person you could become. Just like the magnifying glass. He says, you won't have to walk in darkness anymore if your focus is fixed squarely on Jesus Christ, the true light. You won't need to be validated from others. So the question you might have this morning is, how can I do that? How can I get plugged in? How can I plug into that light source that is so important? Well, if you're a Christian, all you have to do is get your focus right. Just like I did with this. Now, when I went out into the sun, I had to adjust a little bit, okay? I had to focus it. I couldn't just go like this and think that I was going to burn anything, because it doesn't do any good. But as soon as I got the right focus, I was able to do it. We have to focus. We have to focus. I have to focus on the right thing, and that is Jesus Christ. You can't serve two masters. So you've got to focus on one of them, and you've got to decide that. So when we do the altar call, maybe we need to refocus. Maybe when you come down, you need to say, hey, you know what? I can't serve two masters, and this is the master I'm going to want to serve. and I want to rededicate myself to that or refocus myself. For the non-Christian, you may be asking, well, how can I fill my heart up with that life? Something that won't fade, that like other validations will. Well, the first thing you have to realize that the thing that you've been chasing and can't give you the joy and satisfaction and the fulfillment that you would like or that you're looking for. It's just like a drink of water or some food, okay? If I'm thirsty and I get that drink of water, that is not an end all to my thirst, because I will be thirsty again. The same thing with food. I'll go and I'll eat my lunch today, but tonight I'll be hungry again. It's not an end all to my hunger. So all the things that we've been looking for, all the things that you've been looking at, has a shelf life, and it will make you thirsty again. So once you do that, it's just a matter of asking Jesus, the true light source, into your heart. Not just by believing he exists, but by actually plugging in and asking him into your heart. You will have light in perfection, wisdom, knowledge and joy, and fulfillment. And that's all included in the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Now, you see, those electric cars. One more illustration and then we're done. You see those electric cars running around here now? Everybody has to get them plugged in, right? Well, if you go to a service station and you can, I think now you can go ahead, certain service stations, you can get plugged in and get your juice in there, and then you're all energized and you can drive your car, okay? You can believe all you want. You're driving your little electric car. It's probably about this big, and you're in there. Do you ever see them? I don't know. Some of you guys might have electric cars. I'm not in that yet. So anyway, I need the gas-powered one. So you could be driving and say, I believe there's a filling station right there. I can get plugged in. You can believe all you want, but unless you turn the wheel and go in and get plugged in, it does you no good. You can't get energized, and eventually you're going to get stranded somewhere. So you need to be plugged into the right source. Unless you're plugged into the power, you're going to eventually run out of the power and be stranded. You can believe all you want, but it doesn't do you any good until you're plugged in. So this morning, I want to help you get plugged in. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, this morning is that day that you could be plugged in. So what I'd like you to do is all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm going to pray a prayer this morning. Now, this prayer isn't this a magic wand that we're going to wave or you're going to say and you're going to all of a sudden, you know, do all kind of miraculous things or whatever. What this prayer is, it's just an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that you know that you are a sinner and that you want forgiven for those sins. And you want to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. So if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, the perfect light source, and you want to know him and you want to be plugged into that light source, I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, anybody pray that prayer this morning? I see that hand, amen. Raise your hand, I see that hand, amen. Praise God, all right. That's your first step. That's your first step. You are plugged in now. And I would love to be able to come and talk to you or anybody around that might be around you this morning and they're a member of this church and they're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. We would love to talk to you this morning. But if not, at some time in the future, and you just write down, just put a little note in the offering plate today and say, hey, you know what? This is my number. This is my name. And I would like to talk to you about what I did this morning. Won't you do that? So I'm going to open up the altar, and I would like you to come down. I would like you to come down and say, hey, you know what? I need to refocus my life, and God is really tugging on my heart, and that's what I need to do this morning. Won't you come? And if you've raised your hand for salvation, why don't you come down too, and just come down and just thank God for the gift of eternal life, the free gift of eternal life that he's given you. So while we play one verse of song, or if anything else, if God touched you in any way this morning through this message, won't you come and just thank him at the altar? One verse of invitation and we'll be done.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm forgiven. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love. How can it be? You, my King, who died for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Forgiven because you were forsaken. Oh, I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you've died and rose again.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that we can be plugged into you. We thank you for the sacrifice you made on the cross 2,000 years ago for us, God. For me and for you. For all of those sitting here this morning, God, we thank you for that. Thank you for refocusing us this morning. And as we leave here today, may this message just eat at us. Tug on our hearts. Squeeze our hearts just a little harder so that we can make sure that our focus is right and it's squarely put on you. God, we love you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.